Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York on a blustery, wintry night after we had a wicked, wild, and crazy kind of snowstorm yesterday with 2 feet of snow deposited on the streets of New York. And what I do is I broadcast here from the bright red desk, and I talk to you about what's going to happen in the week ahead, how you can use the energy productively, and the changes you can expect. We have a pretty big week ahead of us, and it's a lot of exciting things coming. Most importantly, of course, is the North Node and Jupiter. And they're going to meet the next couple of days. They're going to hang out together, right? And the North Node is going backwards, and Jupiter's going backwards, and they meet up tonight, Sunday night, and then they meet up again in 2 nights because the node goes backwards and forwards as the moon shifts and rides above and below the horizon. So we're going to have a lot of energy this week about connections, important people that you're going to meet, relationships, people in, people out. And your job with this lovely North Node in Jupiter is to gather the business cards of all you meet, to give your business card to everybody you meet, or your phone number, or your email address, or however you prefer to communicate, and just to know that you're being connected with people that you're going to travel with for the next 12 or 19 years, or a subset thereof. Sometimes people don't say the full 12 or 19, but we're pulling them in. I call this transit bluefish season. If you've ever been on Long Island in the summer, when the bluefish are running, they jump into your boats and you go, oh my God, bluefish everywhere. And they're a really good fish too. I want to just shout out to the bluefish that have been wonderful meals for me at some points in my life. So honoring this energy of a lot of fish jumping around and jumping in your boat is very, very powerful. And so your job is to say, okay, I'm going to catch as many fish as I can. I don't have to eat them all. I just have to catch them, put them in my boat, maybe in the freezer. But I'm getting the numbers. And, of course, with the North Node traveling with Jupiter, very powerful. Now, also this week, we have Mercury and Pluto meeting. Now, we've been, you know, a lot of comments about all the rock and roll stars dying. And, of course, taking you back, Mercury's retrograde, taking you back to your childhood. You remember those Eagles songs. You remember the Crosby, Stills, Young, and Nash songs. You remember your Natalie Cole. You remember your David Bowie songs. And our job is to kind of go, the universe is asking us to go back and remember our retrograde, R-E, retrograde redo. And, of course, Jupiter is trining the Mercury and the Pluto. So he's inviting us to kind of go, oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah, the song of my childhood. And, of course, important songs, because Mercury's joined to Pluto right now. And what Pluto wants us to do is to understand, to go deeper, to delve. So there's this lovely trine in the sky, excuse me, between Mercury and Pluto and Jupiter in the North Node. And this week Mercury stops. And then he goes back across Pluto. And as he goes back across Pluto, the two of them connect again. We can't anticipate another death. Somebody big in the rock and roll world, that seems to be the theme with this Mercury-Pluto story. But also Mercury-Pluto is serious words. And so what the universe wants us to do is to be serious. And he connects with Pluto again on the 30th of the month, on January 30th, next weekend. So this next week, as he stations this week on the 25th, and he goes direct tomorrow night at 4:50 p.m., then he's going to go forward, and he's going to catch up to Pluto and pass him one more time. Now, Mercury and Pluto have met 3 times since December. The third is always the magic one, you know, 3 wishes, 3 stars, 3 days, in the crypt, sunset, stand still for 3 days. A lot of threes out, 3-leaf clover, you know, luck. So the third one is the biggie. Not that we aren't going to discount the ones that went before, but we're going to go, oh, wow, this one's really important. So you want to watch what happens as Mercury stations to go direct and as as Pluto, Mercury comes to join with Pluto on the 30th, and begins a whole new journey So it's an important time. And Mercury, of course, he's basically stopped. He does square Uranus on the 31st, which is kind of the last of the ahas, because remember, he's met up with Pluto. Uranus and Pluto are traveling very close together because they had that big dance that they did for those last 3 years. He also has the square to Uranus, which is the aha moment. So it's 1, 2, 3. Remember, and then you jump in the water. So it's 1, 2, 3. Next weekend, what did you hear? And, of course, I'll be back on the 31st to talk about it. But your job is to go, oh, yeah, that's what happened. Now, we have a nice full moon in the sky. It went full last night around 6:26. I'm sorry, about 8:46. And when it went full, it's taking us back to the summer of 2014 when it was last full, and then again to last spring in April when it was opening quarter. And now we're doing the full moon. And what the full moon invites us to do is to look back at those two earlier episodes, two earlier stories, to look back at the early degrees of of Leo in our chart and where it is. In my case, it's on my part of fortunes too. So this full moon's on my part of fortune. So I've been doing a lot of tax stuff this week, which is all good. And then kind of a forward motion energy, you know, to say, okay, releasing. And then 9 months from now, when the moon gets to Scorpio, or when the sun gets to Scorpio and the moon will be in Leo, we have our third and final. Now, I wrote, one of my students wrote this week, Erin, and we were talking about the full moon. And she was kind of like, I don't understand how that works. So I'm going to take a minute, and here's your astrology lesson for the day. There's a wonderful book called Lunar Phase Families by Dietrich Pessin, who is an astrologer out of the Boston area. And Dietrich came up with this a few years back. I've had now a couple copies of the book because she's gone through a couple printings. And it's called The Key to Timing. And what she noticed was, which we all know, every 19 years the moon repeats the same day. It's eclipses. That's where we get that from. But we know every 19 years the moon repeats at the same degree. But what also happens is after the moon hits that degree and starts a new moon cycle, and it joins for the next three phases that happen every 10 lunar months, the moon is at the same degree. So within a degree or two. Sometimes it's like 3 degrees apart, but it's like basically it kind of pulses the same area. So we had a new moon in 2:14 at the end of July, the beginning of August, you know, the end of July it was, and it was at this degree. And then 10 lunar months later, when the Taurus moon, we had the opening quarter. The moon was at the same degree. And now 10 months later, at the full moon, the moon is at the same degree. And then 10 months later, lunar months this is, the moon will be the sun will be in Scorpio, the moon will be at Leo at the same degree. Now, what does that 10 lunar months correspond to? That's the human gestation period. So we know that when you get fertilized on one moon, opening quarter, you get born on the full moon 10 lunar months later, which is how they can kind of predict, you know, your gestation period. I mean, assuming normal, come in, you come out when you're supposed to, when you're cooked, you come out at that same time, you're going to come out 10 months later. 10 lunar months later, not calendar months. And we watch the lunar calendar in the Chinese, in the Jewish traditions, in the Tibetan traditions, in the Indian tradition. I mean, we're the only ones that work with the sun as the tradition of the months, but they work with the moon as the flavor, which is why the holidays moon, why Ramadan moves, why Easter moves, because that actually is timed to the lunar calendar, why the Jewish holidays move. They move according to the moon phases. So this is a ripening cycle. And so the new moon seeds it, the opening quarter tests it, the full moon sees it clearly, and the closing quarter wraps it up and says, okay, that story is finished, next. So what we do when we watch these lunar phases is we become aware of a bigger cycle. We all know about the 30-day cycle, but there's also a 2.5-day cycle. 2.5 times 12 gets us to 19 years. And that's where this comes from. But it's a very good cycle for watching the longer gestational periods of our lives evolve. And it's a very powerful energy to work with. So I do encourage you to say, okay, think back to Taurus time and think back to Leo time of last year and look and say, and the year before, look and see what was going on. What was I working with then? And what is that story reflected now? Right? Because it's going to match. The other thing we have in the week ahead of us is understanding kind of a little bit more about where we're going. We have a lot of aspects with Mercury because he's, you know, he's shift direction and he's going to come to Pluto and he's going to square Uranus, so he kind of wakes it up as he stations. And then the rest of the week is kind of quiet, aside from the Venus sextile to Neptune. Now, Venus is, of course, right now traveling in Capricorn, and Neptune, of course, is traveling in Pisces. So we have an earth and water sextile, and it's a closing sextile because Venus is going to catch up to Pisces soon, and that'll be when she gets to Pisces, which is in spring. But the closing sextile, what it does is it says, time to wrap it up, time to harvest. So there's a harvesting sextile that's happening this week, a harvesting of our dreams, a harvesting of money, a good time to bill people, a good time to collect money. And it's also a harvesting of, well, what is the dream I've been working with, Venus in Capricorn, and how do I want to change it to be a new dream, Neptune? What's the new dream? And, of course, we always work, or very often work, on our desires. You know, our desires drive us. You know, you have a desire for a hamburger, you get one. You have a desire for a new shirt, you buy one. So when Venus comes to sextile Neptune, very often she whispers in his ear and she says, you know what I really would like? So watch this week for what you would really like. What really makes you happy? What really makes you excited? What really inspires you? What's your vision of the next chapter? And it can be a vision that you've been working on for about a year. Now, in my case, hopefully, we're fingers crossed, we're working on it hard and going to get it done. We've been revising the website, which if you've noticed, the column has not been posted because we've been revising the website, which has taken a lot longer than we thought because there's been all these issues because, of course, we're working in Mercury retrograde. But we've been thinking about it for a while. And it's kind of the vision of the new, the vision of the different, the vision of where we're going next. And, of course, the website's been the same since it got built in 2004, so it was a little rusty, creaky, and now it's going to change, Venus sextile Neptune. So hopefully this week it gets launched and you all go, wow, that's pretty, or wow, that's really helpful, or wow, it's a lot easier to find things here, because Venus Neptune, this is the dream that I've been working on, right? So we'll see what happens. I'm kind of looking forward to this trine as my launch date. We'll see if it actually launches, but whatever. So Venus is busy this week because she's got that trine to that sextile to Neptune. She also has a couple of aspects to Admetos. And Admetos is a lot about endings and releasing, and she has an aspect to Chiron, which is a lot about healing. So she's traveling from 1 degree cap to 9 degree cap, which is, you know, she's moving along at a pretty good clip because she's not going retrograde for a while. And she is traveling along, talking to them. And in Capricorn, Venus is very practical. She has a desire for practicality. It's why everybody's really being conscious of their money these days or conscious of, you know, what the value is because Venus is in Capricorn. She's a value-driven girl when she's in Cap. So just kind of know that this week when you're sitting figuring out your money or you're figuring out what you need to do, Watch her energy. The sun this week runs from 4 Aquarius to 11 Aquarius. So the sun is moving along, zippity-doo, and it is very much moving in into the middle part of winter, right? So, of course, it hit Aquarius. We're now fixed winter, and we get ourselves a nice big snowstorm that we all get to stay home on and enjoy our chicken noodle soup, or in my case, I made hearty spiced vegetable soup, which I have to say was pretty delicious. So this week, the nodes, Venus aspects the nodes on January 27th, on Wednesday, with a little bit of a stressful energy. And she has a sesquiquadrate to Jupiter on the 27th, which means stress, but she takes action. and she gets it done. And then she has a little bit of a quintile to Eris, the goddess of discord, on the 30th. So you can see some envy or some jealousy surface. But when Venus, when the sun is in Aquarius, she's kind of, or he's kind of, you know, like, hey, you know, let's all hang out together, no hard feelings. Why are we giving ourselves a hard time? And he has a semi-sextile to Neptune, which is often a shift or release of energy. So that's an important component, too. So we're going to watch for the shift of energy in the blind spot of your chart on January 28th on Thursday. We also, Mars this week has a couple of aspects. He is going from 11 Scorp to 13 Scorp. And he joins Juno, the planet of marriage and connection, on the 25th. So he's partnering. And he's saying, gee, let's partner. Let's create something interesting. Let's start a new story. And that's at 11 Scorpio 36. So if you have planets there, and if you don't, what you want to do with Mars joining with Scorpio, Mars and Scorpio joining with Juno and Scorpio, is know that you're starting a new passionate two-year story. That's going to take place starting tomorrow night, or this morning, actually, at 3:31. And then Saturn, Mars has an aspect to Saturn on the 29th, again in the blind spot, which means that Saturn doesn't really see what Mars is talking about, but he gets it somehow, you know, meaning Mars goes, you know, I've been telling you about this. And Saturn goes, really? You know, I didn't really see it. I didn't really understand it. And he comes to understand it this weekend. So kind of watch for that. There can be a story that's been hidden that you didn't know about that comes to light. Remember, it's right before Mercury and Pluto meet up, right? So there's tales to be told. And Mercury always tells us the tales. And he might have hinted at it, but not been real clear. Or he said it, but you didn't actually know how it was going to go down. But now you know how it's going to go down. And that's the Mars to Saturn. All right. So big reveal this week, people, with Mercury on Pluto and Uranus and Mars on Saturn. And perhaps shocking, you know, where you kind of go, wow, how come I didn't know about that? Or was that out there and I missed it? And the answer is no, you didn't miss it, but you just got told about it, right? And you found out about it. So kind of watch for that. Jupiter, of course, we talked about meeting up with the node of fate tonight. He also meets up with the node of fate on the 29th. So two hits to it, which is a lot. So what that means is we have the period of time between today and the 29th for a big exit, okay? Big exit, meaning lots of people taking off. That usually takes place when there's a nice big old earthquake or a nice big volcano or something like that. And, of course, with Mercury stationing on Pluto, the lord of the underworld, we might have a big volcano or we might have a big earthquake. So kind of watch for it and let's see what happens and just kind of know that this is a passage. And, of course, Jupiter's in the sign of lots of ordinary people on the north node of destiny. And we've watched the band leave to go up to heaven and invite them, you know, play the When the Saints Come Marching In as everybody comes marching in. So, you know, I kind of watch this kind of stuff and go, Now, I hate to be one of those people that predicts bad things, but last week there was a big drop of the seawall. 4 feet of sea disappeared, coast of Oregon, and there was a Cascadia fault article that was written in the New Yorker magazine about that fault that back in the 1700, January 25th, actually, of 1700, or 26th, there was a huge earthquake that, you know, buried the west coast of the United States, Cascadia, Oregon, Washington, D.C. area, in Washington, you know, Washington State area, not Washington, D.C., put a little bit of water on that part of the world. And Japan keeps track of tsunamis, and they've kept track of tsunamis since 911. And that was the first time in the history of Japan's history of tsunami keeping that there had been what we call an orphan tsunami, meaning no correlating earthquake. So when they backtrack it, they got back to the quake that took place off of on the Cascadia Fault in the northern part of the United States on the West Coast. So our job is to kind of watch that fault, because 4 feet of seawater disappearing is a lot of seawater, and just kind of say, what's going on over there? So I'm kind of going, I don't see a lot of earthquake aspects in the United States chart, but I am having Pluto and Mercury square Saturn, and I am having Jupiter on Neptune, well, maybe, we'll see. And, of course, Uranus is there in Aries opposite the U.S. Saturn. So we'll see. And hopefully not. Hopefully I'm completely wrong. But that Jupiter on that north node often is a big departure for a lot of people. And so we're going to have another week of a lot of news of people leaving. And that does seem to be the path. They're just not going to be with us as we go. When Don Henley, you know, spoke of Glenn Frey passing, he said, I just can't imagine the world without him. And for all of us, you know, there can be very much with the Jupiter on the north node, people leaving. And my numerology teacher said it's their birth chart into the other side. And, you know, this is a pretty nice chart if you're going to take off. It's got nice trine in the Earth family, got lovely good Venus-Neptune aspects, nice strong Mars. So we'll see. Hopefully I am just not reading those symbols right. So at any rate, Saturn trines Neptune on the 25th. And Google the article. It's out there on the Internet. I mentioned this on my radio show with Michael on Thursday, and somebody found the article and posted it. So you can also look under Scorpio's Talking on my page. So Saturn trines Vesta on the 25th, and it's really pushing in that grand trine in fire and passion. So it's a lot about inviting passion to come in. And then we don't have anything else particularly big. We have Hygieia stationing to go retrograde, and we have Astraea entering Leo. Neither of one are particularly strong. And we do have Juno linking up with Poseidon on the 29th. And so that can be the flu, too, or kind of one of those colds that roams around. And we also have Ceres entering Pisces on the 28th, which is an energy of connection and relationship to the ocean and the sea. So there are some water images in the week ahead, so we'll see what happens. So at any rate, this week, Monday the moon is void all day in Leo. Very productive, though, because the closing aspect is a trine tonight to Uranus, but it is void all day. And then we get to the moon goes into Virgo on tomorrow night, the 25th, and it's in Virgo on the Tuesday the 26th, and it's in Virgo on Wednesday the 27th, and it goes void at 7:11 p.m. with a conjunction to Jupiter. And then it's void Wednesday night, and then it goes into Libra bright and early Monday morning at 9:59 a.m., and it's in Libra Monday and Friday. And it goes void at 8:34 p.m. on Friday night with a separating aspect to Uranus, moon opposite Uranus. And then it's void all night Friday night. It's void all day Saturday. And at 10:50 p.m., it enters Scorpio, and it's in Scorpio on Sunday, the 31st. And then it goes void at 7:35 p.m. on the 1st of February, with a sextile to Jupiter. So, Virgo moon, well, Leo moon is creative but finishing up stuff Monday day. Virgo moon, Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, very productive, get a lot done, trying conjunction to Jupiter, rah, rah, everything is great, forward we go. Then the Libra moon, Thursday, Friday, a little more problematic because the aspect is a separating one to its moon in Libra opposite Uranus. And then the Scorpio moon, void moon all day Saturday, the 30th. The Scorpio moon Saturday and Sunday and Monday, very productive with a sextile to Jupiter. Okay, so the middle days, Thursday and Friday, a little more stressful and a little more about ending things or saying that's finished. We're not doing that anymore. So the week is actually a pretty nice week, aside from the Mercury stationing and Jupiter on the two north nodes that usually bring more departures into our lives. And also remember, we were talking a little bit about this, and I just kind of want to remind you, the T-square that I've been yammering on, I feel like I've been talking about it all day. Every time I do a reading, I go, all right, there's this T-square. The T-square is Neptune in Pisces, Saturn in Sag, Jupiter in Virgo. all three signs are mutable signs, which mark the endings of things. Mutable signs mark the endings of the seasons. We are ending the winter season with Pisces and going into spring. We're ending the fall season and going into winter with Jupiter. And we're entering the winter season, and we're ending fall season and going into winter with Sagittarius, with Saturn and Sag. So when we're in season-ending signs, what happens is seasons end, the seasons of our life. And our life says, okay, that's finished. It's time to let that go. You're done with that. That's okay. You're over. And even the people that are fixed, that with a lot of fixed signs, are going, I'm really feeling like there's a big change coming. There's this huge season-ending feeling. There's this huge ending of stuff's done. And it really is. You're really letting go. So kind of look at the different places in your life where you want to let go or where you want to change things because there's a new season coming. Because remember, whenever there's a season ending, there's another season around the block. Season ending times are when it's 90 degrees, 30 degrees, 90 degrees, 60 degrees, 80 degrees, 30 degrees. It's every day. You never know what the temperature is going to be. And that's kind of like what's going on in the heavens right now. You don't know what's going to happen. But you know it's going to be big. It's going to change stuff. So our job is to go, okay, I kind of got that down. You know, I figured that out. I know I'm in a season of change, and change is okay. And I might slip a little, backslip. When I do, I go, oh, slipped a little, let me go forward again. I might feel a little overwhelmed. Ooh, all these changes. When I'm feeling overwhelmed, go to Neptune, positive Neptune, not the drug and alcohol kind. But go to Neptune and say to it, Neptune, let's hang out together. Now, you may find your holic tendencies get triggered. You're alcoholic, you're shopaholic, you're carboholic, you're holic. Like, I love that, and I tend to overdo it. That's totally cool. If you go into a holic phase, just do it for the one day, and then put it down and pick up sobriety again the next day. Understand that because these T-square is so mutable and so changeable, that it can produce anxiety. Remember, the mutable signs are the anxious ones, the Geminis, the Virgos, the Sages, and the Pisces. The Pisces swim away, right, when they're nervous. The fire sign, the Sag people, go, vision, I need a vision. I'm Don Quixote, I have to have a vision. The Virgo people worry, chew their fingernails, right? And the Gemini people talk a lot, and they go on and on and on, and they get on a roll, and they need a mood stabilizer, right? So we kind of have to go, we're in this kind of crazy energy when the seasons change, and the signs that are season-ending changes are signs. So I'm a good Virgo, but I decided I'm trying to grow my fingernails out. However, every now and then I get a little crazy, and I bite them off. So this weekend I was a little crazy, but I didn't bite all my fingernails off. I just bit off my index finger and my thumb. My other three are nice and long. And on my left hand, they're all long. And normally I start on one hand and I go through all 10 fingers. But I only did two fingers this time. It's that kind of change. You don't have to bite off all your fingers. Just maybe one or two. And then you're okay. Speaking of fingers, I'm teaching a palmistry. It's a very bad segue, I know. I'm teaching a palmistry weekend on the weekend of February 6th and 7th. In your hand is God's roadmap. And when you can't get somebody's chart, if you can look at the palm of their hand, and even across a crowded conference room table, you can check to see if they have a crooked pinky. And then you go, if they have a crooked pinky, they're probably crooked. So you don't. So come to learn palmistry. Sign up. It's on my website. It's an early bird special through next week. And then walk-ins a little higher at the door because I have to send in the reservation and pay for the room rental. But really cool, you can definitely read the palms of hands. It's as good as, if not better than, the chart because it shows up to the minute where the person is. And when you look at a chart, you don't always know how conscious they are. But when you look in a hand, boy, do you find out a lot of information. So come take the palmistry workshop. And in the meantime, have a great week. We'll catch you all next week on the other side of this North Node, Jupiter, Mercury station joining with Pluto and Uranus. Major changes this week. Watch for them in your life. Take care. This is Ann Ortley signing off from my bright red desk, and I'm going to go have a little hearty spiced vegetable soup. Take care and have a good week. Bye.